I'm Jess.
And I'm Jen. We're just two run-of-the-mill casting directors looking to have a little fun while tearing down the curtain on casting, the process, and how the sausage gets made.
So many misconceptions have come from outside sources, so we're here to clear the air and make sure everyone gets a full picture of all that goes into casting your favorite TV shows and films. All the while, we'll be drinking some amazing cocktails and spilling the tea on some of the most outrageous stories we've come across in our careers.
Maybe we'll even bring on a few exciting guests along the way.
Cheers! Cheers.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
It's really good evening here, but that's okay.
Oh, I can't keep track of these things. You know that.
You know, we've had daylight savings now, so now we're back to our 8-hour difference.
Oh, no. Back to that.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sipping on my coffee and my Tahiti coffee flavored liqueur and...
Oh, the good stuff.
The good stuff. Get your day off right.
Nice. We're very similar then because I have my sweet and spicy tea that you got me with whiskey again.
Oh,
my fave.
I need to try that.
Because it's a bit chilly and rainy and gross here today. So I was like, it'll be nice.
Oh, that's nice. We get 3 days of sun and heat. And then we go back to the rain on Saturday. So it's delightful.
Wait, that's almost exactly what we have, except, well, I mean, I guess, are you counting today as you get a day of sun?
We got yesterday, today, and I think tomorrow, and then it starts to get cold again.
So for us, we have tomorrow, it's supposed to be sunny and 70 all the way until Sunday. So I'm pretty excited. I dug out some shorts so I can go sit in a park and try to tan my legs because they are the whitest they've ever been. because I'm very much looking forward to it.
I know. Yeah. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm supposed to go to a wedding this weekend and, I'm wearing.
Ooh, where?
I've never, San Clemente.
Oh, I love San Clemente. There's like a big marine base there.
Oh, I've literally never been there. It's at the casino at San Clemente, which is not like a casino. It's like a gathering place, the way that it is in Catalina Island, how they have the casino. But I'm sure it'll be beautiful. It's my friend Maggie's wedding, but I'm wearing a dress and I am very much translucent these days. Not even, I wouldn't even say white. I'm just like, you can see right through me. And so I got to figure out something about that very quickly. I think I have like one of those self-tanners that could go all sorts of wrong, but you know, I'll do my best, see what happens.
Yeah, it's a beautiful town. It's very hilly, so take comfy shoes if you're walking, but it's beautiful. And I want to clarify, because that made it sound like I went there when I lived there to troll for Marines. I didn't mean it that way.
Sure, Jen.
But my cousin used to be a JAG. I know, my cousin used to be a lawyer for the Navy. She's a JAG and was in San Diego and married a Marine who was stationed in San Clemente. So I used to go down and like hang out with them. It was always really fun. It's a beautiful, beautiful city.
If you have any nuggets of places to go, because I'm going Friday morning through Sunday morning, probably. So,
well, again, not to make myself sound like a lush, but this was years ago, but it was me and a bunch of Marines and like Navy guys hanging out. Like we just pretty much drank. I'm not gonna, and like go to house parties.
Where do I find one of those? That's also good. I'll start taking notes.
I actually have a really funny story. There was one time, I can't remember, it was somebody's graduation. And so whenever they have like a big military graduation, it's like this party. And all I remember is there was like this suit. We were at like some just like hole in the wall bar, got pretty drunk. And then on the way home, Jen, when she gets set past that point, I just feel like I can take on the world. And so we were walking and we went past this Mexican restaurant. I was like, I want a margarita. Jen did not need a margarita at this point, but they all gave in to me because it was just me and like my cousin, and it was then a bunch of men, so they weren't going to say no to us. So we go in and get the margarita, and they gave it to me in a glass, like a glass, and I just walked out of the restaurant. I took it with me, and because I was like, this is margarita on the go. And then I come to realize the restaurant's on this massively steep hill, and Jen was drunk and Jen was in heels, and so about halfway down the hill, it dropped, shattered everywhere. And I was like, whatever, leaving it behind. And so the next morning, I felt so bad waking up hungover and being like, so I went back and cleaned it up the next morning.
Oh, good girl. That's a good yes. Yeah, I definitely, it's funny. I have this visual. Do you remember watching, or did you watch The Wedding Planner with J-Lo?
Yeah.
When she's like yes. drunk on the top of the hill in San Francisco and just like. Whoa.
Yes, very similar to that. Yes, at least I envisioned because, yeah, that was a lot of drinking that night.
I'll definitely keep a lookout for some good margaritas in the meantime.
Yeah. I mean, I was drunk, but I do feel like it was a really good margarita.
Enough to take to go. That's, you know.
Yes.
Do what
yes.
you got to do.
All right. So I get the wine of the week this week.
Mm-hmm. Do tell. Share with the class.
And I was saying that, like, I have come down off. I'm still quite pissed off about the whole thing, but I've come down from my anger. I've had a really bad, like, week and a half, just generally in terms of working and whatnot, where I feel like I've really put my trust in three producers and directors and relied on relationships and, you know, putting yourself out there. And all three of them have just like massively let me down. Like one, I have a very long-term relationship with, and he recently, like he has some stuff going and, you know, always, I've always been his kind of go-to casting director. And then out of nowhere, like a week and a half ago, he's like, well, maybe we'll see if we can get you on this project. And leading up to this, like I've been really good about giving ideas and trying to cultivate that relationship even more. And so then to hear that I'm not even a shoo-in for a project where I've done everything else in the past, that was just like a really big hit and was very like,
yeah.
put me in my place kind of thing. I felt very kind of just put down by the whole thing. And then the other one, I've been on this film for 5 years, 5 years through COVID, through the strike.
Yeah.
And over, I will just say it to everyone, in 5 years of casting a movie and being there through all these different iterations, I think in total, I've been paid maybe $5,000, not even $1,000 a year. You know what I mean? Like, but I believed in the project. I loved the producer, you know, and then at some point, there's something in you that you're like,
yeah,
I've now given so much of myself to this project. I can't walk away. Because everyone's asked me, they're like, why are you still on this? Like, why don't you just leave? And it's like, one, they have all my lists. They have all my ideas. And I've put so much effort, so much like blood, sweat, and tears into it that it's like, I can't walk away from it. And so there was an article in one of the trades last week that highlighted it, like was like, hey, we're getting back on this, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, the producer told me that it was going to happen, that this article is going to come out because they wanted to jumpstart it again because they want to shoot by the end of this year. And so he sent me the new script, all these things. And the article came out. I didn't know. No one gave me the heads up, like, you know, because we had this conversation like a month ago. And so I forwarded it to him and I was like, oh, congrats. So excited. Like, hopefully we can dive back into casting soon. Like, this is really exciting. I gave the new script a read. It's like certain parts that were weaker are stronger now. And all I get back is thanks. That's it. And then I was like, okay, well, that's a bit short and a bit kind of just like, I don't know, after for somebody who's been so integral in helping getting your movie to where it is, to get that kind of response was a bit. So I was like, maybe he's in a bad mood. So I wrote back and I was like, okay, well, if there's anything I can do to like help get casting going again, you know, just trying to be helpful. And I said, do you think it'll get going soon? And he writes back, soon. Not even punctuation, not like one. And I just like, I lost it a little bit mentally because I'm like, why?
Wow.
Why do we not get the same respect yeah. as like, would he say that to the studio? Would he say that to the director? I don't feel like it's appropriate when somebody has been on this journey with you and done so much for free and so much of like my time and energy put into this.
Yeah.
And so that was like a hit. And then right after that, I've been dealing, you know, I don't know if I've said this on on the podcast, but I've been dabbling in the producing side of things lately, especially with the help of my good friend Aletha. And I had been sent a script that I fell in love with about a month ago. And it is a beautiful coming of age story. And it's just one of those moments where you read a script and you're like, yes, this is why I do this job. It's one of the best scripts I've read in a long time. I met with the director personally. He seemed really good and open to collaboration. So then I brought Aletha on, and she and I have been doing a lot of like prep work, talking to, she's amazing. She has tons of relationships with studios and financiers and everything here. And so she was like, we can get this sold and made this year. It's just that good of a script. And so we were putting all this effort in, and then he was asking for casting lists and all these things. So Aletha, in all of her geniusness, was like, we need to put a contract into place. Like, I don't want to be going out selling this, using all my connections to get this movie made. And the moment we sent a contract, and it wasn't even like a full-on contract, it was a shopping agreement for 12 months, which he had agreed to on the like Zoom call that we discussed, he pulled the movie. And then it kind of came out that he never actually let go of his last producer, who never got it made in the last like 12 to 18 months. And then he kept making up like excuses like, somebody in Brazil wants to make it. I'm like, it's a US coming of age story. We could probably make it into British, you know, stories, whatever. But I just was like, really, and Aletha is so much better at this than me. And maybe this is where I need to get a harder shell. But she's like, this happens all the time. But I was like, but I was invested. Like, I don't, and I feel like the way it was handled was like very poor, because you should have, if you would have said at the beginning, like, hey, we're talking to lots of producers. And I'm just so grateful, because Aletha was like, do not send your casting list until we have a contract, because I had really good ideas. I'll just say that, like, it was going to be a phenomenal movie.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was just like those three things happening all in the same week. I just really took a mental hit this past week and a half. And I was like, what is wrong with people?
Yeah.
Like, where's loyalty? I feel like that's just like a thing of the past now. Like, you can work for somebody, you can do all this. And then they get mad at us for, oh, and there was another thing, a movie I had walked away from because of this reason, where they couldn't pay me. It was an okay script. It wasn't, you know, earth shattering, but I was doing a friend a favor. And then they started really taking advantage and being like, kind of like,
yeah,
dictatorial of like, you go and you do this, you don't get an opinion type thing. So I walked away from it.
And you hadn't gotten a penny from that one, right?
No, zero. Yeah. Zero penny. And you yelled at me for this, because I did not even have a contract in place. I was purely doing it out of the goodness of my soul, like hoping that they would give me, you know, that they would hold up what they said. And so when I decided to walk away, the director, he tried to keep me on as like an EP, and the deal he sent me, he was like, here's what we'll put in writing for you, was laughable. It's worse than any casting contract I've ever gotten.
Wow.
So I kindly just was like, you know, appreciate it. I'm just going to focus on my other stuff. But like, if you get financing and you actually want to hire me down the road, I'm happy to come on once you can pay me. So then he comes back again after I fully was like, you know, best of luck, here you go, I've sent you on your way. And PS, I did attach an actor in this work. I cast for them. Like, it wasn't just like I walked away after doing nothing.
Mm.
And he comes back again and he's like, hey, so in order to keep this actress that you cast for us, I need you to like go to the agent and make sure that like it's good, because we know that the only reason we got her is because of your relationship with them. And in that process, I said, okay, well, I'll just tell her, because the agent is somebody I've dealt with a lot in work and we have a mutual respect for each other. I said, I'll just tell her, like, I'm going to step off, you know, I'm going to step back until you guys get your financing finished. And he's like, no, you can't tell her that, because then she's going to think it's not financed and she's going to pull her and all these things. And I'm like, so you want me to go and lie on top of that? I've not only like worked for you for a year for free, and now you're telling me what I can say. And he wanted me to make it sound like it was my bad of leaving it. And I was like, I'm not going to make myself look worse.
Yeah.
And like all these things.
When you told him that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, so did he say anything back?
Yeah. He was like, well, you can't. He's like, well, I guess if you really want to be 100% truthful, that's your prerogative to do it, because you've done all this work. But he's like, but I would really appreciate if you could just like make it seem like, or position us in the best possible way so that we can continue to work working relationship with this big agency. And I was like, again, you're fully just using me at this point because I'm the one with the relationship, not you. And now you're asking me to kind of lie.
Yeah.
And I just was so put off by it.
Yeah. That relationship will implode on its own if that's the approach that they take of like being dishonest with the people that they bring on board. Because at the end of the day, even if you did go to them and say, hey, part of our funding fell out, even if like you can fudge the truth in a way that's like, hey, we are still funded, but not fully funded because a portion of it fell out. You know, I'm going to step away while they lock that in place, but please like feel, you know, we definitely want to keep her on board. And that way it's like, it's the truth for 97% of it is the truth. And you can still honor your relationship. And if they don't, because that's the thing at the end of the day, like all of these relationships are based on like goodwill. And if people are lying to each other and the other people get wind of it, like that all goes down the toilet. And like, I'm even dealing with something that it's like on an indie that they owe an actor for a day of work and the reps are chasing them, but they're thinking that they can throw out a fancier thing down the road, being like, oh, well, they'll forget about it when we do this. And it's like, if you're breaking trust here and like if they have to chase you for this, why do you think they're going to trust you for the big thing down the road that might happen, you know? And so it's like, I think people lose sight of what the real is and how people really function. And it's really unfortunate. Yeah.
I know. And it's just like, you know, it's funny. I think we were talking about it with Lindsay on her episode, but I was like, it's always the people who either pay you nothing or pay you very little that ask the most of you. And it's just, I don't know. It was a bad week. I feel like the past 10 days have just been like hit after hit after hit after hit where I'm like, are there no good people left in this world?
There are.
I was telling Aletha this morning, I was like, I just want to work with you. That's all I want. I just want to work with Aletha and we will ride off into the sunset together, making good movies. Because I'm just tired of like putting my hope in other people who like I think I can trust. And then the minute one thing turns, they like kind of stab me in the back. And it's just, it's hard.
Yeah. But I think that's why when we find our people, we cling on for dear life because we know that they're so few and far between. And so I think, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And so I think when you get back to into a corner like this with all of these experiences, and hopefully they're all concentrated in this one moment for you. And then after this one moment, you'll be able to fly into a really positive space. And, you know, and maybe it is, you know, doing your own thing and producing your own stuff. Cause like, I think that's where we all have to be because this is so freaking hard. And yes, it's hard to make those movies too, but like it's way more fulfilling than having to work with assholes that don't respect you. So I think we're on the right path. And I think it just takes time and perseverance and we'll get there, the collective of us.
Yes, I hope so. No, I know we'll be fine. Like, and I keep thinking that, like, I keep being like, okay, one day, I say all the time, I was like, every morning I wake up and I'm like, today's the day things could change. You know what I mean? If you're ever in a bad mood, there's certain things we have within our control to make it better. So I try to be positive about it. It's just, I think this was the first time I've had this many hits this close together.
Yeah.
When we already haven't worked for so long because of the strike. So that is my wine of the week. And I wish I had wine, but whiskey will do.
I think whiskey is more effective, probably.
True.
So let's talk stuff. What have you been watching lately? TV, film, what are you watching?
Yes. I've been watching so much. I'm not going to lie. I am curious to see if you've watched this yet. Have you watched the Quiet on Set documentary on HBO?
I think I've watched the first two episodes. I was really planning not to watch because I think like that it's so hard for me to consume and handle all of that. But I have watched the first two and I think I have to sort of take it very slowly.
Yeah, I've watched it all. It's so, because it was one of those things that I was like, oh, I don't want to, because I was a 90s kid, like all those shows I grew up with.
Yeah.
And it was a different generation of TV that I remember very vividly. So it was really hard to watch. But I also am so grateful that like those people came out and said it. And because I've always kind of wondered how And I'm not trying to like dog on Nickelodeon or Disney or anything, but like it always seemed a bit crazy to me how much you can work children in this industry and how much like how little oversight there is when it comes to that. And I mean, I've hired many kids on different things.
Yeah.
And even that, even on films where they're only working 2 weeks or whatnot, the fact that they just kind of get free reign and that they have a quote unquote guardian on set, but they're never even like really with them. You know, it's a very interesting world.
Yeah. I think there are way more protections in place now for children, but it's like predators will find what they're looking for either way. And I think that was the scariest mm-hmm. thing to like, I just got to the, or I think maybe, I don't know which episode this was in, but just like idea like that the parents were removed from the sets because they would say that there's not mm-hmm. enough space for anybody. And then they were eventually moved out. And you look at things like, you know, with like the Michael Jackson of it all, and you're like, oh, how would a parent do that? And it's like the power dynamics are so intense. And especially when these parents basically put all the pressure on the kids to be the breadwinners in the family because they've quit their jobs to support their dream, you know, hoping that it is the child's dream to do all this. But it's like they're so vulnerable in that space. And it's like even the work hours of it all, I think, yes, that's obviously a very important part, but the manipulation and the like predatory behavior and the like grooming essentially of making it feel like it was okay to do, you know, the back massages, to all of these things that you're just like, what? And the two writers, the female writers that were like, the whole thing that she said was, she was giving that pitch about what her high school experience was. And then Dan Schneider said, oh, it would be funny if you told that story again, but as if leaning over the table, as if you're being sodomized. Like in any world that person has so much power to think that you can get away with it, or like there were so many things in that in those two episodes for me that I was just like,
it gets worse.
I know. My sister's been getting the highlights and she sends it to me every once in a while because I was so adamant about not watching the docuseries. And so so I already know all the stuff that sort of comes towards the whatever's already out there. But I heard that they made like a fifth or sixth episode that wasn't supposed to exist because there was just so much. And that is horrifying.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, I will say it's almost like a follow-up rather than an additional episode that exposes even more, because apparently Dan Schneider went, I don't know if he's been doing multiple interviews, but he at least went on one podcast to defend himself. And his whole defense was, if the kids were uncomfortable, they should have said. And you're like, you're not going to say that at 9 or 10 years old to somebody who, also, he's a big dude. I couldn't imagine, like, I kind of remember like my dad's friends, you know, like back when I was 9 or 10, do you think I'm going to walk up to them and be like, hey, I disagree with you in this respect, you know? And they were all lovely humans. But even in that dynamic of you, if you're especially a female going up and like trying to talk to somebody twice, if not three times your age, who's like massively bigger than you, to say, I don't want to do this joke because, and the fact that he thinks that they would understand that it was inappropriate, that what he was asking to do. And, but there's you haven't watched yet, but the fact that, I'm sure you heard about it, the whole Brian Peck thing when he got convicted. Cause I remember as soon as they started talking about it, I was like, oh, I remember when this came out.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, because Drake Bell really goes into how he went into the sentencing hearing and all these like kid childhood Hollywood stars were sitting on Brian's side of the courtroom.
Yeah.
And then I got really mad because, so in this fifth final episode, they show a lot of Dan Schneider's interview that he did defending himself and saying that he did really kind of not saying he did anything wrong. But then also Will Friedle and Ryder Strong have a Boy Meets World podcast, and they apparently address the fact that, because pretty sure Drake said like he didn't call out anybody on himself on the docuseries, but the producers got all their letters of support released in the Freedom of Information Act, and Will and Ryder were two of them, which just kind of kills my heart because I was the biggest Boy Meets World girl. But and Will kind of defended it in terms of, he said that he's like, well, we didn't know better, and
I know.
And again, this is not that long ago. They were not kids when they went and wrote letters of support. And to sit on that side, he was, I think it sounds like he maybe regretted it on the podcast publicly. But then they asked Drake if any of those people sitting on that side of the courtroom had reached out to him to apologize since. And he said, not one.
Wow. That's wild.
And I was like, that's sad. So you're willing to publicly apologize on your podcast to make yourself look good, but you're not willing to reach out personally. Yeah. And because you can see how badly it's affected that guy.
Yeah. That's, I mean, yeah, he's had his own issues in the last several years. But yeah, that, I mean, because I know James Marsden was one of those letters too. And I think and he was especially of the age to know better.
Yeah.
That if like this, there were so many that you're just like, there must have been intense temptation for him to allow himself to do that. Like those, like the way that those letters were phrased that made it the victim's fault that happened was really, it destroyed me to read those things.
Yeah.
And it really like as a society, I feel like we're in a really sick place if we are blaming the victim over and over again and not taking accountability for our actions. And that's, you know, that's a huge, it's really scary, especially when it comes to children.
Yeah. Yeah. And the crazy thing is that Brian, even though he's a registered sex offender, he went back on set.
Yeah.
They allowed him back. I was like, what? I was like, how does this guy even have a career? I don't understand. Like, I thought, because like I said, I remember when that whole thing broke. And again, we didn't know who accused him, but it was in Deadline almost every day. And I feel like I never knew that he went back to work after that. And I hope to God somebody put a stop to it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I think, you know, this is a horrible thing because it's like you look at just outside of the industry that if you're looking at if you're driving down a street, they need to wait until enough people die in car accidents to put a street light. Mm-hmm. And this is the same sort of idea that somebody needs to make so many, like, there's got to be enough opportunity for someone to put children in danger in order for them to do anything. And I had I didn't have a similar experience to this, but I worked on a film it was like one of my first few projects in the industry. And I had someone who was essentially acting as my mentor, brought me into casting. And I found out a handful of years later that like they were using a pseudonym for their professional name and that they had been in prison for 7 years for child abduction. And this person had been working on a number of productions that were the foundation of it were children, you know, and it was like, those people will always find their way if we allow them to.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really like after that came out, after we all found out that like the person had falsified their resume for 7 years of the things that they worked on and somebody in the community helped them do that. P.S.
Wow.
That it was after that point, all of the studios put into place the background checks for any production that had a child on set, which is fucking crazy to me that didn't already exist, you know, but it was for me, that was like a really difficult moment in my like personal journey because somebody lied to me about who they were for 7 years and they had like, you know, the hindsight's 2020 where you start to look at things that they've said over the years of, oh, you know, because we were casting kids and it was like, oh, come into the tape room with me. I prefer not to be alone, you know, running camera with the kid. And then like, I was in my early 20s, like that didn't even faze me to think about why that could have been.
Yeah.
And it was like, I had spent these years being friends with someone I did not know at all. And that was like a really eye-opening experience for me. And it was interesting when that all came out, how our own community really turned an eye to us. Casting community turned against us as if we intentionally allowed this person to be part of our team knowing what had happened. And that was really an interesting dynamic to experience for sure. It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a hard hard show to get through. I get it. But I also think it's well worth. I'm so grateful they did do it because I think it does still acknowledge the fact that there are still, as much as we've come along in our industry, there are still strides to be made to keep children safe and to make sure that they're not, you know, taken advantage of in any situation. Because there are, I just think that it's so naive to think that we'll never deal with evil. You know, like there will always be evil people trying to take advantage of, and Hollywood somehow makes it really easy to do that. Because I think there's not a ton of oversight when you look at it in general. So,
yeah. Well, it's all under the guise of like paying your dues. Like, what do those dues look like for every different position? And I mean, I think that's why the Me Too movement had such a reckoning within the industry. And I think that's the only reason why Dan Schneider is not working anymore is because he got canned for Me Too. Cause they're like, we can't hide this anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, you know, I mean, I hope that there is more and more of it, but why can't we just put people in power who are not predators? And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the hard part. I mean, because I'm a big like doc watcher these days, you know, like all these things, but it's like all the predators, they hide in plain sight. Like you would never guess.
Yeah.
You know, I watched that, got real into that, Who the Bleep Did I Marry or whatever, where they all marry like people who try to kill each other, or, like they stole all their money or like all these things. It will make you never want to get married. So don't watch it. But
what is that? It's a docuseries?
Yeah, it's on, I think, Max. And it's been going on for years. Oh. And to be fair, I feel like the 70s and 80s were like prime killing time. I don't know. Where like the first few seasons are all people from the 80s, 70s and 80s who like married somebody and then they turned out to be raping college girls at night, or they went crazy and tried to kill them and beat them and they survived. And it's just like this crazy story, but it's kind of addicting to watch because you're just like, how do these people exist? Like, but it's always, oh, but they were so nice. And every episode starts out with, oh, but here's how lovely it was to begin with. And I was gonna say, don't watch it if you want to get married, because you just will never trust anybody.
God, what is the name of that movie? I'm trying to quickly Google it, but that Julia Roberts, was it Sleeping with the Enemy? Is that the name of the movie?
Oh, I think so.
It makes me think of that movie.
Was that Julia Roberts though?
Maybe not. But whatever movie I'm thinking of is with Julia Roberts, where she married a man that she thought was perfectly fine. And they had this beautiful romance. And then as soon as they put those rings on, he started beating her and stuff like that. God, what is it? Is that her? Yeah, Sleeping with the Enemy. That's it. But that's literally what it makes me think of like, you just don't know until that switch flips, basically. Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway, I don't know how we digress to that. What else? What are you watching?
I started, this is the dumbest thing. I feel so bad. So I started watching Ripley on Netflix.
I haven't started that yet.
With Andrew Scott and Johnny Flynn.
Flynn, yes.
And I am so embarrassed because I hadn't seen any trailers or anything, right? I just knew that it was coming out. And so I conflated two things. I thought when I first started watching it, I thought it was the prequel to the Ripley alien character.
Oh, oops, no.
So I know somebody who produced the show. And so I was going to watch it either which way because I wanted to support them. And so I started watching it and I got 15 minutes into it and I was like, what am I watching? What is this about? And so I started Googling it and I realized that it's not to do with Alien, but The Talented Mr. Ripley, which I had never seen the movie.
Really?
Yeah. Or any incarnation of the movie. Cause I know it's been made a number of times over the years, but I had never seen it. I know that Matt Damon's in it and all that fun stuff, but like, I just never had seen it. So I am actually watching the story with fresh eyes.
Wow.
You know?
Okay.
And I'll say it, and it's only because I can say this because my friend said it to me, but like, stay the course through at least episode 3, because episode 3 is where it kicks off.
Okay.
Like, really? Everything else is sort of foundational buildup. But Johnny's great. Andrew Scott's great. Dakota Fanning is great. Like, everybody is really solid. And it's in black and white the whole time, so it's very noir, and it just it's a good watch for sure.
Yeah. I have to admit, so when the day it came out, whatever day it was that came out, was one of the days I was not having a good day.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I turned on Netflix to try to find something to take my mind off of it. And I was like, ooh, I'll watch this. And I turned it on. I made it through like 10 minutes. I was like, nope, not in the mood for this today. So I haven't watched it yet because you got to kind of be invested. I feel like it's not something you can just like breeze your way through. But
no, it's a slow burn. So just be prepared for that. And the first couple episodes are very slow. But once it hits, then it's on the move.
Okay.
For sure. But definitely worth watching.
Okay, good. Good. I watched Masters of Air. Did you watch that?
I didn't finish it.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
I think I'm like 3-4 episodes in, maybe.
That's the thing I will say. It kind of reminded me when you said Ripley, because I feel like that show moves so slow. It's like every episode you're like, wait, what's happening? It's like, and I heard there were like a lot of issues with production, and I think there was widely publicized. I think it was in the trades that it was a lot of disagreements, it's really weird because you think you're getting into a Band of Brothers, like, you know, kind of vibe, and it's not. I mean, and I'm not going to say it's bad because I watched the entire thing and it was good. I have a good friend in it, and he did it fabulously, but it just is kind of like, wait, what's going on now? Like, you think you're getting into this like flying movie, and then in episode 3 they're captured and you don't see them anymore, and you're like, wait, what?
So I think it's also hard because there's so many characters, it's hard to keep track of who's who and who you need to care about.
Yeah.
And so that I feel like that's why I'm having such a hard time sort of moving through the series, just because I haven't hooked into anyone yet.
And this is a little bit knock on like costumes and hair and makeup, but they made them all look the same. There's so many times where I'm like, oh, that's a different actor. Like, I thought it was the same actors because they all look exactly the same.
And there's not enough distinctive difference in their personalities. Mm-hmm. I think they're so, like, other than Barry Keoghan, like, I think everybody else feels fairly similar. And like, obviously, Austin Butler and Callum Turner, they're distinctly their own entities, but everybody else starts to blend a little bit.
Yeah. But I just had to say, there's one scene where they're in Africa, and I think it's on their poster, which I just think is hilarious because I have just never bought into the Austin Butler hype. But there's a moment where Austin and Callum and then their whole group of flyers, whatever, they're in Algeria or something. So they're like in dead heat. And so they, of course, have their shirt offs. And you think it's going to be this moment of like, look at us manly men with this like desert in the background. And I was just laughing. I just like don't think that Austin Butler is that sexy. And he's like this tiny little human. His like waist is probably smaller than my leg. And I'm just like here standing there like, I am the man of the men. And you're just like.
So you're saying it didn't give you the same like Top Gun Maverick, like football scene?
No, give me that anytime. I'll take that any day. Like, sign me up. Because I never thought Miles Teller was that good looking. You know what I mean? But you watch that scene, you're like, all right, I buy into, they're manly men. And then it's just, you got to watch it just for that episode alone. Because I just started laughing. I'm not even going to lie.
And I think it's interesting, though, because like if you're looking at the difference in times, like the sort of macho aspect of like masculinity was way more prevalent then than it is now, I think. So mm-hmm. like if you're which is like it's just an interesting choice.
Yeah.
But I think it's also if you're trying to commercially appeal to different audiences, then obviously there's different goals there. But still, I think that's an interesting comparison that.
Yeah.
They were way more zeroed in on the masculinity, you know, something from this year or present day. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And then most recently, watched The Gentlemen.
Yes, I have too.
And what do we think?
I liked it. I think this was the perfect role for Theo James.
Mm-hmm.
I think he balanced very well. Daniel Ings, I know you're obsessed with him.
And
I think he's phenomenal too. And I've never quite gotten on the Kaya Scodelario. Is that how you pronounce it?
Solidario, I think.
Solidario. Yeah. I need to see it when I pronounce it. But I've never quite understood it until this show. I think she's perfect in this Susie Glass role. And overall, I liked it a lot. I'm excited to see what season 2 has in store. But it was
There's going to be a season two.
There has to be, the way they ended it. There has to be.
Well, I didn't know if it had already been picked up or...
Oh, that I don't know. But I feel like it must, because they, the way they set it up, I think, leaves us to believe there should be a season two. But
yeah.
But I that was another one for me that was a bit of a slow burn for sure.
Yes. I thought it moved very slow. I'm not going to lie. Like, I bought into this. I thought it was going to be... Did you watch the movie at all?
No.
The Gentleman? I always thought it was going to be a mix of that kind of movie with like a Kingsman type vibe.
Yeah.
And if you watch Kingsman, that moves quite quickly.
Yeah.
The movie is a bit slower, but I was like, in TV, I thought, okay, they're going to hook us in. And it did take me a long time to like, wait, do I like this? And honestly, what kept me in was Daniel, because I love his comedy. I'm just a huge fan of him acting in anything. And he's hilarious in it.
He's hilarious, but he also made me the most uncomfortable. Like, like in the best way of that it was so authentic and that he just doesn't know better to be his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
That I was just like, stop, just stop.
And I don't, maybe it's because I live over here now, but like even the other day I was on the tube with somebody who I would describe as very posh. And it was like that thing where he's like, we're on the tube and he's like pressing out the wrinkles of his pants. And like making sure, and I'm like, why didn't you just take a car if you're that concerned? But but I feel like he kind of embodied that like self-righteousness of being this like very overly entitled guy. And
I think he's a kid in a man's body.
Yeah.
You know, like he had no reason to ever be a grown person because he's always like taken care of,
yeah.
Especially from his like younger brother that's also always taken care of him. Mm-hmm. So I think kid is the right descriptor for him. Yeah.
And I find it so interesting because I think Theo and Kaya were very much on the same trajectory. I'm curious if you had the same experience, because they both kind of like maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, like Theo was coming off Divergent. Kaya, I don't remember what she did, but she had like this moment where she was on every list. She was like going to be the next rising star of Hollywood type thing.
Yeah.
And they both were supposed to really do all these amazing things, and then nothing really hit for them.
Yeah.
And then they kind of fell off the face of the earth in terms of, you know, being, especially in Kaya's situation, I feel like she really kind of just dropped off lists in terms of being that go-to, like in the top three people that we like for things. Theo's always been up there, which I've had so many conversations with, like, especially indie producers who are like, you know, because at the indie space, you're looking for somebody of name value who can get your financing set. And he's always been in that conversation. But the only thing you can harken back to is Divergent, those that's to make him marketable, and he's been able to sustain that.
Yeah.
But now I'm in the problem, and I don't know if you're dealing with this on any of your indies, but like now, because of this, now every indie producer is like, sign me up for the Theo James train. And I've had to like make so many offers to him that I'm like, please don't hate me for another indie offer that he's gonna pass on.
I know. That's so interesting. Because, I mean, he didn't pop again until White Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
That was his, like, resurgence. Like, yes, he was around, but I think because he didn't pop the way that they thought. Because he was the guy that was in the, what is it, Golden Boy? It was, like, a network series, too, wasn't that?
I don't remember that. Maybe.
I think it was, like, right after Divergent. They were like, we're going to try to make him the thing that, like, the network TV star. And then that show, I think, got canceled maybe after one season, two seasons, something like that. But, yeah, it was interesting to sort of see that roller coaster of a ride that, you know, some of these actors end up being on, because I don't know if it's about representation and how they start to price themselves out, like the reps price their clients out in some way, or if it's they've become so selective that nobody feels like they can go there. Mm-hmm. For me, Kaya was that person of like, she was interesting and she was having her moment, but I always felt like she was very, very picky and would pass on a lot of stuff. So I've made offers to her over the years that like people were very excited about her.
Yeah.
But it just never, she would never take stuff. But I also think she like took time personally. She had some kids. She got married. Like, you know, I think she definitely lived a life. Yeah.
I didn't recognize her.
Me too.
I had to Google her. I was like, yeah, who is this?
Same
she's
thing.
Phenomenal. And I was like, what? I was like, she's changed. Her appearance has changed quite a bit since last time.
I think she was more of a kid when we, you know, when she came out onto the scene, and they were definitely sort of positioning her in a certain way as far as her representation was. And I think she's a woman. woman. She's a mother. She's like all of these things now that give her a lot of complexity and layers and everything. And I think this is such a great role for her to embrace and to like to be able to see her shine in the right way. So I was really excited to see her.
Yeah. Honestly, all the acting is really, really good in it, which is kind of hard to find these days. You usually kind of have what? Tell me.
I also love Vinnie Jones.
Oh, yay.
He's been a favorite for, it's like Vinnie Jones and Mark Addy. I always loved, and I would get excited when I see them and stuff. And Vinnie, like, I don't know if you've seen Gallivant.
No, I don't think I have.
It's a Dan Fogelman series that preceded This Is Us, and it's a musical with, who was it? Josh. No, it's not coming to me. But Timothy Amundsen, Ricky Gervais was on it, Nick Frost, like so many phenomenal actors. And the writing was so good and so self-aware of what they are and what they weren't. Like John Stamos was on it. It was so good. It's on probably Hulu somewhere right now. I highly recommend. I think it was like 2 or 3 seasons and so funny. And he was like the king's henchman. And he was singing and dancing and doing all these things that you would never expect Vinnie Jones to do, but he was so good in that. And that,
oh, I love that.
Yeah, if you need joy for an evening, you watch that show. It's so good. But so to see him in this character that's fully formed, that has depth, that has layers, because I don't think you really got to see him in that space for many years. Like he was the Jason Statham that was like, you know, just the muscle, and like he was a brute handsome guy, you know. And this is a really good representation of what he can do. I love it.
Yeah. Like I said, across the board, acting was phenomenal. Like,
yeah. Who cast that show?
I don't know. We should know this. I'm going to go with like a Lucinda Sison or Nina Gold or something, because it's Guy Ritchie. So
probably. I mean,
there's no way.
That's probably. Let me look. No, no fresh blood is what you're saying.
I was like, there's no way.
You are absolutely right. It's Daniel Hubbard
and
Rory Oakey, but I don't know Rory. They probably work for the Hubbards.
Like, and that's the only thing that kind of bothers me is like, would this have been made if it wasn't Guy Ritchie? You know, like I don't know, but it's one of those things where I struggle, because I'm like, I just want to support new people and new voices and get things made. Because you know they spent so much money on this thing. They could have probably made like 8 shows with what they spent on this one. But because it's Guy Ritchie, he got tons of money for it. Even budget-wise, I'm not saying his own personal pay, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like... But I think that's like, you know, proven entities in that way that it came from IP that he already created.
Yeah.
So I, like, in that way, I understand they want assurances, which I'm sure they got with him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree with you. They could do probably more with less.
Yeah. Or just make lots more TV. No.
Yeah.
No, definitely worth the watch. I enjoyed it. I really got into it too. Like I said, a bit slow off the start, but I really enjoyed it and thought it was quite good. It reminded me too of, what's the movies that where they like do mysteries? Shoot. What's the Guy Ritchie movies?
Yeah. I haven't been like a Guy Ritchie aficionado. I've seen a few of them, like The Kingsman and those things, but...
The Knives Out. Oh, Knives Out.
That's Rian Johnson though.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm going to cut that out so I don't sound stupid. I thought it was Guy Ritchie. It has a very similar vibe, in my opinion, like the kind of, you know, twists and turns and all that kind of stuff. But definitely, definitely worth the watch.
I've also been watching a show. I think it's an Australian show called Heartbreak High on Netflix. Have you seen it?
No.
I'm like in the YA space right now of seeing who's out there, because I feel like I've aged out of it.
Oh.
Like I haven't aged out of it, but like the talent that I knew because I started, you know, in 2010, that all of those young people when we started who were 12 or 13 are now in their 20s, like way into
that's,
you know, so I'm like, who's the next crop of actors? And it's I loved.
Oh, I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, it's been a fun watch. It's definitely, I would give it a comp of a more like a lighter Euphoria, where it's not such a, like a heavy turn into all of this really dark shit, but it's more, I think it's more accurate.
It's all Australians.
Yeah. It's a great, this Aisha Maiden, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but She is so good in this show, and the boys are so, so good. I started looking them all up. This kid that plays Malachi, Thomas Weatherall, he's really, really, really good. And then there was this other guy that I can't remember his name.
I'm not going to lie. Just by looking at Google Cast, they look very CW pretty.
Oh, they are.
These are all gorgeous human beings.
They are gorgeous, for sure, but they're also really good. And this Asher Yazensek, who plays Harper, she is, like, really interesting, too. So I've been in on that train. And it's if you like high school dramas, like, this is a good one.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's so funny because we're on opposite planes right now. I watched Criminal Record with Cush Jumbo.
Oh, yes.
So good. So, so good. And, oh, this was fascinating. There's two seasons out. It's the British version of Industry.
Yes. Isn't it only the British version?
No, there's the French version that got really, that was about the movie industry that got huge, like, bump during COVID. Have you watched it? It's all about agencies in Paris. And they have, like, movie stars. Come on.
Are you talking about Call My Agent?
Call My Agent. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, guys. So
Industry is about, like, Wall Street and the hedge funds and stuff like that.
I know, but I heard it was based, I can't remember. I thought it was, like, based off of the same premise, or, like, it's the same writer or something. They pretty much wanted to translate what they did with Call My Agent to a British version, but it's set in Wall Street, not in the movie industry.
Maybe it's the same, and maybe it's the same showrunners or something, but, like, I did love Call My Agent. I watched that during COVID for sure, but I'd always heard about it because Juliette Ménager, she cast that show, and she would always be at the film festival at Subtitle, and so we would always talk about it and hear about it. And then I finally sat down and watched it during COVID, and I am obsessed with that show. Like, all of those actors are phenomenal.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. Well, and I want to know why I thought they were the same show. It was just in my head for some reason. I think they're shooting season 3 right now, but the lead girl of that is phenomenal. Like, just a rock star. I'm looking up her name. Hold on.
In Industry or in the other thing?
In Industry.
Okay.
So pretty much what I was saying is I just binged Industry because I've been kind of putting off watching it. And then a friend of mine went into audition for it. So I was like, oh, I should go watch this. And it's really good. It's really, really good.
Yeah. It's very intense.
Mm-hmm.
I never finished it, but I did watch, like, the first 5 or 6 episodes of the show. And I think that was why I stopped, because it was so intense. I'm not really good at this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's like one of those things where it makes me appreciate how chill my job is, even when it's stressful, because it's like these guys are waking up at, like, 5 a.m. with the markets. And, you know, it's like they're putting millions of dollars on the line and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, I can just have an actor pass on my project today. Like, my stakes aren't that high, you know?
Yeah, this low stakes by comparison, for sure.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what I've been watching. Anything else for you? I know you love your reality.
I love my reality. There's a couple of shows that I watch on reality, but I haven't. I mean, once The Bachelor's over and Love is Blind is done, I'm pretty much out of the reality space. So nothing really on that side of things. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've just sort of popped into. No, I feel like I'm trying to catch up with everybody else that's watching TV.
Yeah. I mean, you've been busy this past few weeks, so you've been.
Yeah. But even when I'm not busy, for me, it's always like, do I want to go do something else? Do I want to read, or do I want to watch? Because it's like, it's an investment. Like, once you start, and then I don't know, but I do want to see, my associate Ari has been telling me about, three bodies.
Yeah, three body problems or something like that.
Yeah.
It's apparently it's based off a book.
Oh, it's the two, what's it called? The two guys from Game of Thrones, DB.
Oh.
David Benioff and DB something or other. Yeah, David Benioff and then that guy. But she said, like, the first 2 episodes are slow and then it, like, burns off.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's based off books, because one of my friends here works for a publishing company, uh-huh, and she was real excited about it because she loved the books. And then she texted me. She was like, have you watched this? It does not live up to the book. She's like, I am not happy. So then I just watched the premise of it. And I do like, because what's his face is in it? John Bradley.
Yeah.
From Game of Thrones. He's in it. Adore him. And I just love him. So, but I watched, like, the preview or the premise of it, and I was like, this is not a Gen show, but eventually I'll probably get suckered into watching it if it becomes a hit of some sort. Get on the bandwagon.
Yeah, it's yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm so not into anything right now. I feel like I'm not, with everything going on, everything on the world, you know, animals, all those things. I'm just like, I just want to sit on my couch, yeah, and maybe even doom scroll, watch Graham Norton. I don't know. I'm just
no,
so disengaged.
Since I've been having such a shit week, I have literally been watching The Mindy Project, which is probably one of my favorite shows ever. And
I've watched it like 5 times over. I just want you to know.
I think I'm like at 10. It's like my go-to. I actually love Mindy Kaling. Like, she's probably one of my favorite writers and creators of programming, because I think she's very female forward without being like in your face feminist, kind of how we talked about Barbie and stuff, where she's just a fun time.
Yeah.
Did
you watch Sex Life of College Girls?
Loved it. Yes, loved it. I don't know how they're going to go forward without Renee Rapp, but I'll be interested to see. Because I think she left this season.
Yeah, the coming.
This the one that's going to be coming out.
But didn't, what's her, oh my God, I can't remember her first name, but Chalamet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Pauline.
Pauline, thank you. Doesn't her character leave too?
No.
Oh, I thought she decided to transfer to another school.
Oh, like in the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that was like their big cliffhanger, but I'm pretty sure she's still on the show. So maybe she'll find a way to come back in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've been watching The Mindy Project and The Great British Bake Off. Because I'm such a horrible cook that I get so excited to watch other people do good at it. Like, someone's like, wow, how do they just know? I love when they just pour flour into a bowl. And I'm like, you're not going to measure it? Like, I would die.
I don't know how those people do it either. Like, I am a baker, and it's a science. You have to have measurements. I don't understand how they do that, but more power to them. But let's talk about your cooking lately. You did meal prep on some eggs.
I did. So this is a great story. A friend of mine here has a friend who's a food influencer. So food company sent him to post about stuff. And he lives down near me. And my friend sent a group text to me and like three other of her friends who live down in this area. And she literally was like, the guy was supposed to get sent like 6 crates of 6 eggs. And instead of the little 6 boxes, he got 600 eggs.
Oh, shit.
And so he's like, I don't know what to do with all. So he's like, anybody want free eggs? And eggs are so freaking expensive, right? I was like, I'll take as many as you want to give me. And so I walked to his house to pick them up, and he gave me 11 boxes. So I had 66 eggs. And I was like, how do I save these eggs? Because I want to use them and just keep them all. So I made, you gave me a wonderful quiche, little like muffin quiche things. I had to buy a muffin tin from Amazon for £5. So, you know, I just have to put a little money into it.
It's all about the investment, initial investment. Now you got muffins forever.
Yes. Now I can make muffins or cupcakes. And so I made spinach, feta, and bacon, little egg quiches. So that was it took me a long time, but I did it. And I was real proud of myself.
But then you freeze the leftovers, mm-hmm. and then you thaw them when you're ready to have them. And exactly. It's a great little recipe.
Exactly. So I did do that. I was going to say, what else? I was like, I don't think I've cooked anything else outside of that.
I feel like there was one other thing that you sent me, and I was like, I'm proud of you, girl.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm always proud of you, but also in the cooking respect, you know.
Yeah, my cooking leaves a little bit to be desired most of the time. But I pretty much like eat like a 5-year-old, where I have, like, even I was like thinking today, what could I make? But you know what I've gotten into is kind of making my own burrito bowl of types, where, because all you have to do is make rice. I can make rice. I get the little beans, and then I just like cook some chicken, and I put it together, put some cheese, put some salsa, and it's a burrito bowl.
You're a happy girl. I forget. Do you have an air fryer or no air fryer?
Not here. I have one in the States at my house, but not here.
I would get one of those when you have the time, because I think that like has changed my game for sure.
Yeah.
The other day I made basically a whole chicken. I basted it with spices and seasonings, and then I just stuck it in the basket for the air fryer, 30 minutes on one side, 30 minutes on the other. And then I had chicken for like 4 days, and you could take that.
Wow.
This is also tipsy casting. This is food tips from us, but like you take one of those, what are they called? The chicken shredders or whatever. There's like the little thing you could buy from Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you stick a piece of the chicken breast in there and do the little shredding. And you've got real like good rotisserie chicken for your chicken tacos.
Nice. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think.
Okay. The problem is I have like no counter space. So like I have my kettle and then I have like one little basket that holds some stuff. And that's about like all I have on my counter. But
do you have cupboard space?
Not to put an air fryer. I could figure it out though. I feel like that's something that probably, because when I was living in Tennessee and I had it there, I used it almost every night. Like it is really easy like to cook salmon and chicken and beef and
yeah.
Fries and whatever you want. It is, I will say, it's probably one of my favorite things, but I just haven't gotten one here.
It's helpful. As a single lady that lives alone, it's great.
Yeah. It is partially like I hate wasting food, and so I never want to make that much, but anyway.
I know. I was so lazy this morning. I was like, I need to have protein this morning, because the other version is I have like sliced mangoes that I bought from Ralph's. So I was like, yeah. I could just have like a few mango slices and call it a day with my coffee. And then I was like, no, you need to have protein at the start of your day. That's important. So I literally made 2 eggs sunny side up and I put it on one slice of bread and just let it like spill over. And that was my breakfast. I was like, I'm so lazy. I can't do anything fancy.
Yeah, I do want to learn how to poach an egg because I do like...
Oh, it's not that hard.
Really?
Yeah, you just boil water and you do put vinegar in it and salt, I believe. And then you drop the egg in it and it should... It's like a sous vide almost.
A what?
A sous vide.
Sous vide. I've never heard this word before.
Yeah. Well, I'll send you a recipe. It's fine.
Okay. We'll post it on the Tipsy Cassie account. Here is Jen's poached egg.
We'll keep you updated.
And either it will be a success or a failure. I'm sure this is a very thrilling topic for people to listen to. But
listen, at Tipsy Casting, we aim to hit all parts of life. Oh, man.
All right. Well, this has been fun. I hope everyone loves our hot takes on new TV shows out there. Because I know we're the go-to resource.
Oh, man. Well, that wraps us up for the week.
Yes. Yes. It's been fun.
Been cathartic.
It's been cathartic. Thanks for letting me whine. I appreciate it. I feel like it's starting to get out of my system to where I can move on and be more of a healthy, mentally healthy this coming week. But yeah, it's been lovely as always. And we'll see you next week. Yeah.
Yes. Cheers.
Cheers.